Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you be the boss that nobody wants to leave? Hello everyone, Kevin Cruz here, and in just a minute, we're going to talk about how to lead with positive influence. But first, don't forget to visit leadx.org. You'll find hundreds of articles from the best business and career writers out there. That's leadx.org. Our guest today is a former U.S. Navy leadership trainer and Annapolis graduate. He's the founder of the Attorney Search Group and a global keynote speaker. He's been quoted in Selling Power in the Wall Street Journal, among other places, and his new book is Why They Follow, How to Lead with Positive Influence. Our guest is Scott Love. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm excited to be here with you.
We're going to talk about Why They Follow in just a minute, but first, will you share with us a time when you actually failed, maybe early in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of stories there. I think one in particular, the lesson was trust your instincts. I was a naval officer and the chief, the senior enlisted, the technical expert, he told me something that I just didn't think would be accurate. I took his advice against my own instincts, and sure enough, I was right. However, the damage to equipment was done, and it went with a permanent letter in my record. And the thing I learned, two things. One of them, trust your instincts. Don't be afraid to give pushback to people, even if they're technical experts. And secondly, sometimes you got to take the hit and you accept full responsibility for everything that happens to you. And sometimes those things aren't pleasant, but that's how you learn from that. So I think just that intense personal accountability and trusting your instincts were two of the lessons that I took away from that experience.
That's a twofer. Those are two good lessons to learn.
That's right.
Scott, your new book is Why They Follow, How to Lead with Positive Influence. Let's just start with, what do you mean by positive influence?
Leading people in a way that they feel engaged, where they want to be, you want to be the light, you want to be the joy. I don't want to say the joy in their life as a boss, but you want to be at least some sort of inspiration for them that makes their lives better rather than takes away from that. We've all worked for bosses, good and bad. Sometimes whenever I do a seminar, I'll ask people, I'll say, you know, let's put on the board the character qualities, the attributes that you would use to describe someone that you would trust and follow. And number one is always, this is someone that's worthy of that trust. They're usually honest. But then all the attributes usually lead up to someone that's generally a positive person, someone that generally has that optimistic outlook. And I think that is what gets people to work harder and to stay longer and to put the energy in rather than someone that's cracking the whip all the time.
Yeah, that's the old school fear and cracking the whip and follow the rules. And it's amazing how many of those kind of people are still out there.
Yeah, it's effective. It gets the job done once.
Yeah, right. Never again. And if you got any kind of talent, you know, you're not there for long.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm a big believer in the servant leadership model. And you write that there are three steps to servant leadership. What are these steps or keys to leading in a servant leadership way?
Yeah, I think number one, it's to have a prosperous heart where you believe that there's room in the organization for everybody to achieve satisfaction. Everybody can achieve victory when the team does, so that it's inclusive. Everybody in the team is important. This is something you and I both learned as parents, is that everybody on the family matters. The emotions of our kids matter. If your son is in tears because he wants to go to the game and you've got a conference call you got to get ready for, you know, showing your kid that his feelings are valid. He absolutely has a right to feel upset, even though we've got to get this thing going. You know, so I think, you know, having that prosperous heart that everybody in the team matters. Number two, living in a way that's congruent with your heart, because the people that work for you are always observing and they're always making judgments. Are you living in a way that's congruent with the values that you tell people that are important to you? But I also think number three, it's to communicate that to your staff, to communicate that trust, because you're living in a predictable sort of way that's in alignment with your heart or your core values. I think it's good that, especially if you're in a supervisory role directly with them, that you're creating this sort of silent accountability. When you are putting yourself in a position of leadership, it's a vulnerable position because You're always being observed. You're living in a glass house, and people make judgments about you, and that judgment translates into what sort of response level they're going to give to you. How hard are they going to work based on how you live in congruence with your values?
I think that's so important, because if you really want to see what someone's all about, it's not the words they're saying, it's their actions, what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and as a leader, we're being watched. As much as we want to be modest or say, you know, we're not above anybody else, we're not on a pedestal, very often the people on our team are looking to us to be a leader. You know, they're looking to see if our actions and our words match up. It's fundamental for servant leadership.
Yeah, that's right.
The LeadX show is really targeted towards millennial leaders, you know, with many of their challenges. And a lot of them are even managing people who are a generation or two older than they are. So what would you say to them?
I'd say three things, Kevin. Number one, always get focused on what the outcome is of the group. But when you're in a position of leadership, that's important. And number two, look at the strengths of those people and the assets of those people. And the goal is to align those assets, those desires, with the team. This is something I learned by interviewing General Walt Boomer, who is a retired four-star Marine officer and former CEO. And I asked him, I said, Walt, what's more important, mission accomplishment or taking care of your people? And he said, let me think about that. This is what he said. He said, taking care of your people, as long as you've got the right people in place, they'll get the job done. So I think it's important to have that sense of mission accomplishment, and then also looking at the assets, looking at the resources that your team brings, and always align that with the organizational goals. And then number three, ask your people questions. Ask them things like, what can I do to make your job a lot easier? Is there anything I can do to help you accomplish this? I think taking a genuine interest in your team and walking around and engaging with them and asking how you can help out, that's one way that you can definitely get some enthusiasm going.
I love those three pieces of advice, Scott. In fact, the whole asking questions is a good way to lead off if you're a new leader. A friend of mine, Ellen, you know, she taught me this. She was taking over a large IT team, and she personally didn't have a technical background. Mm-hmm. So her first day, she just showed up and said, all right, how can I help? You know, what tools do you need that you don't have? What red tape can I cut? What problems are frustrating you? And by leading with questions and, you know, from the heart, like, how can I help you? How can I serve you? And then following up later with other pieces, you know, she never had a problem winning people over. People loved her.
And I think that takes a special person, Kevin, because so many people, their personal hubris, their ego sometimes gets in the way. And leadership isn't about that. It's all about getting the job done, aligning the resources of your people, making sure that they're engaged, they're fulfilled, and not about pounding your chest and saying, hey, look at me. In fact, I think true leadership is invisible. At the end of the day, you want the team to say, we did this ourselves. And that's probably how Ellen was. She was happy to step back and let you and everybody else say, this is our goal. We did it. We are the team and we accomplished this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Scott, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to become 1% better every single day. Is there something you can challenge us to try out today?
I would say do these two things. Number one, write down your personal core values. Not what you would think are good at work, but you personally. And here's a question that helps you hone in on this. If you had all the money in the world, all your relationships were perfect, and you had all the time in the world, what's left over? What are those values that you hold true to you? And when you clarify those, you get them on paper. Now, when you make decisions, does this decision line up with my personal core values? And that's the thing, and you know this too, Kevin, is that leadership is very personal. People are making personal decisions when they come to work by observing you and how you live in accordance with those values. And then number two, I tell them, is to write down your personal mission statement. What is it you want to do on this planet? It might not have anything to do with business or making billions or anything like that, but what are you on this planet for? And I think that gives you clarity in what direction you're going in, and it also builds up your personal confidence. And when people see someone that lives incongruent with a set of core values and makes that hard right based on that, and they know exactly where they're going, that's attractive to people. That's what causes people to respond in a way that says, yes, I'm willing to follow, and I'm willing to stay with you to the end.
For any listeners out there who are thinking, you know, this is soft stuff, identify your purpose and mission, this is not soft stuff. This is hard stuff, and it's life-changing stuff. And you know, Scott, I came to this late in life. You know, I kind of thought, you know, I knew what my purpose was, or I was living a life of purpose, but it wasn't specific. I hadn't actually written it down. Uh-huh. And then a couple years ago, I had lunch with Ken Blanchard, and he said, I've written and rewritten and redefined my mission statement, and I read it every single morning. Right. I thought that was interesting. And then I had a chance to spend some time with Doug Conant, who's the former CEO of Campbell Soup. And he's got like a 2-page long personal mission statement that he reads every morning. So I finally took the time to write mine out, and mine's only a sentence. I like something short that I can actually remember. And now I start my morning by reciting my personal mission statement. And it really does anchor every single day of my life by starting out this way, you know? And so I love the challenge. It's a great challenge. Listeners, I really want you to try to do this one. It's huge.
That's great. Thanks.
Scott, what's the best way our listeners can find out more about you and your work?
Well, what I do, I speak at conferences. I also do what I call high-stakes headhunting. I recruit partners for international law firms in Washington and New York. And I've been a headhunter for over 20 years, and that's really where I build up this bank of knowledge about how to be the boss that nobody will leave, just by having engaged tens of thousands of managers about why are you happy there? Why are you not happy there? Oh, you will turn down a better opportunity. Why is that? And I'd always get a little bit of insight with every conversation. So when I speak, I'm able to put that in a replicable model, an easy, simple way, in a keynote. So I speak at sales meetings, management meetings. I do stand-up comedy as a hobby, so I make it interesting and fun. And, you know, and at the end of an hour, people are looking at their watch saying, wow, we learned a lot, but we don't want this to stop. So that's what I do. My website, scottlove.com, SEOTTLOVE.com. They can order my book there, Why They Follow, and read some of the other articles and videos that I've got on my website.
All right, friends, your executive coach of the day has been leadership expert Scott Love. Don't forget you can get all the links he mentioned, the notes from this interview, over at leadx.org. You can get Scott's new book from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And listeners, one more thing. If you've ever gotten just one new idea from the show, do me a favor. Hop on over to iTunes, search on LeadX, click the subscribe button, and then leave a short, honest review. Only takes a couple of minutes, and it would mean the world to me. Remember until next time that, of course, leadership isn't about title or power or authority. It's all about influence. We are all leaders. The question is, what kind of leader are you going to be today?